To the brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott, and again, today I'm with Leslie Hanks.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, thanks for coming.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, as always.
I know. We like to do the show together, can you tell? Okay, so today we're going to start off with the Colorado Right to Life strategy meeting.
And a fundraiser.
And fundraiser.
Yeah, it should be a fun evening. Coming up, November 11th.
November 11th is $25 per person, $45 per family.
That's a great price.
That's really a great price because the dessert is fabulous. I hear Dee's making it.
Oh.
And if you don't know who Dee is, you will after you eat that dessert. She's an amazing baker.
Yes. Now, do we have to have people call and register? I think it looks like that's a good idea.
Yeah. The phone number is, get your pencils, get a piece of paper. Because you don't want to miss this group strategy meeting. It's 303-753-9394.
And the meeting will be at?
At 4085 Independence Court in Wheat Ridge, Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyone else who's interested in ending this Holocaust in our nation, not just in our state, but in our nation, will be there. We need to... This is a meeting for us to sit down and discuss strategies. We need new ideas. If you have an idea, bring it with you and an appetite and...
Enjoy some dessert and a film.
And a film and some really good, lively discussion.
That's right.
Because if Leslie and I don't agree with you, it's going to be get lively. No, we're just kidding.
50 years of abortion in Colorado.
50.
And it's got to end. It's got to end in our lifetimes. That's been my dream for a very long time, and I know it's been yours because you've been on the streets since, what, the 70s?
Yeah, I was 26 and holding a sign on a street thinking, Lord, I hope I'm not doing this when I'm 50, and I'm way older than 50 now. So I guess I was doing it when I was 50. So we are battling what looks like Goliath, but we only need a smooth stone.
Five smooth stones, right?
We had to take down his brothers. They had to take down his brothers, but it's not really the giant is so easy to take down if we will just do what we're supposed to do to take him down, and that's to the Lord.
And the Christians in this country are the ones to do it.
Right. So at this meeting, we plan on coming up with some really brilliant ideas from people that we don't normally see or talk to. Because we know that we've been doing this for so long, we can get jaded and we can get, you know, not see things that fresh new eyes can see.
Well, that's a good point.
And the young people have good ideas. Young people today are not like young people that we knew when we were young. You know, their frame of reference is so different from what ours was. So it's very difficult for us to hone in on how to
reach them,
mm-hmm. talk to them. You know, we know that God's word will always reach them. We know the truth will always reach them. But there's got to be some things we're missing.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
But so, we know this generation of young people is way more pro-life than previous. Is that not your understanding?
It is my understanding, but the pro-choice people are a lot louder.
Well, yeah, you can't deny that.
They're a lot louder, but loud doesn't mean that they're going anywhere. Loud just means they're throwing a tantrum. So,
true.
Let them throw their tantrums, but we need our young people, and we are seeing some fabulous young people out there.
That's right.
That are our movers and shakers in the pro-life ministry. You know, we've got a young guy named Dominic that's helping us, and he's dedicating his life, and Jonathan Sutherland, who's dedicated his life now, and we've got Josh Craddock and all kinds of young people that
Hudson.
He's out there with us. They're They're young and they're motivated, and that's a huge blessing to us because we need to see some young people coming up and changing the world behind us. And look what just happened with Jonathan. Jonathan walked into a – well, Bob interviewed Jonathan on this show.
I didn't get to hear that, but that went viral. That was crazy.
Yeah, he walked into a coffee shop and just sat down, was going to have a cup of coffee, and the owner of the coffee shop, who happened to be homosexual, just lost his mind,
right. There was an AHA outreach in Seattle, and he found one of the handouts, and even though they didn't bring the handouts into the coffee shop,
right,
he found it, and he just, yes, he lost his mind, and it wasn't pretty.
Weren't you proud of Jonathan, how he handled himself?
He keeps his cool. I can't quite fathom how well he keeps his cool at his age.
And how articulate he is. Yes. How he can convey our message so precisely and so...
Very impressive.
Very, very impressive.
Yeah. You know, you talked about how loud the pro-choice side is. It made me think of the day that we were at the Capitol, west steps of the Capitol. We had the permit for that day, and there was the Women's March, and there were so many women downtown, and they were loud, and they got really agitated at us, and it was very fortunate that we had the police, I guess it was the State Patrol, protecting us. But I read an article in the newspaper yesterday in the Denver Post, and it said they had a follow-up meeting, and there were apparently 40 people at this follow-up meeting. And the article was probably, I don't know, 10 inches in the Denver Post. It was just ridiculous how much coverage a meeting for 40 people got. But that's not unheard of in the Denver media, being very supportive of the pro-abortion agenda.
Yeah, that was an amazing day. But
because we had our signs there. You know, we were supposed to have the March for Life at that location that day. And then we decided to have it at Planned Parenthood that year. But we still had the permit. So we were there with our signs, and
well, we had the permit. We decided we were going to go there and pray for the state
right.
on the steps of the Capitol. We had no idea the Women's March was going to, well, I thought maybe 40 people would show up to that.
But it was, what, 150,000, 200,000?
Oh, my goodness. When I saw, we were all leaving, and I went online to see what was going on downtown, and I saw that many, I thought, I got in the car with my husband, I said, "You're not leaving my side." I was like, "Oh my goodness!"
Well, that was right after the election,
yes,
and the people that lost the election were highly motivated and probably inspired by George Soros to get out in full force. And but you know, looking back on it, maybe that was really fortuitous that we were there. That what crowd needs to see those signs any more than those people do?
Well, I thought it was amazing because they quieted themselves down to talk to us, and we did have a chance to talk to them, and they didn't like what we were saying because every time we answered them, the only verse that came to mind while I was talking to them was weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, they were just so
they were agitated.
Upset. Yeah, but then they quiet themselves down, which is unheard of. So I thought we had a pretty good day that day.
And God bless the State Patrol because they did escort us back to our cars, which was probably a very good thing.
Yeah, it was a good thing. We were all safe and were able to get out, and it's not always that way.
Well, ever since the election, we see these Antifa forces just getting violent and thinking nothing about it because so many police departments around the country just, for whatever crazy reason, stand down and allow them to get away with it.
And that's just encouraging more violence. And it's scary. It's a little scary. So that is, again, on November the 11th at
6:30 p.m. Saturday night.
It's a Saturday night for dessert.
$25 per person.
$45 for a family. And it's 4085 Independence Court, Wheatridge. We really, really hope that you're able to join us for that night because we really want to talk to you. So,
if you have a heart for the babies and you know that America needs to turn away from shedding innocent blood, please consider joining us and tell a friend, tell your church.
Yeah.
We love anybody that's a Christian in Colorado that has a heart for stopping the bloodshed. And realizing that America is going to be under judgment. We are under judgment because we have allowed the shedding of innocent blood for 50 years.
And maybe you're the one with the new idea that can just change things here. And we would really appreciate all of you to come with your thinking caps on and discussion panels with you, and we'll get some work done maybe on the 11th. So we appreciate that. So I wanted to talk to you about this. Now, is it a tweet that you got?
We were up in the mountains last Monday night, I think,
yeah,
right? For a
stargazing
event with a really wonderful bunch of people and some incredible telescopes that, boy, I've never seen anything like those. And
yeah, wasn't it amazing? How does he get those things around? They're giant.
He builds them in his garage, I thought I read.
Were they at his house?
Right out front. And goodness. It was up in the mountains where you could, there was no light pollution, so you really could see. I know one of our friends said she could see the rings of Saturn. I didn't hit that particular telescope, but I was able to see some really cool dual stars and the moon craters, and it was just wonderful. But on the way down, I like to follow Twitter, and because Twitter has pretty cutting-edge news stories that come out that you even see before Drudge. So I was just glancing at my phone and saw, I can't even remember how it came up, but somebody tweeted something about how the pill is not abortifacient. It doesn't have an abortifacient action. And I've followed this for a long time, and you and I have discussed this, you know, repeatedly, and I just answered back.
Was
she
a pro-choice person?
Well, no, she claimed to be pro-life.
Oh, wow.
And so I kept thinking, this is so weird. Why would you go to bat so hard for the pill if you, you know, understood that it does? I mean, their own literature admits that it has three actions, and the third action is to shrink the lining of the uterus and make it inhospitable to an embryo so that it can't implant.
Right.
That's been common knowledge for probably 40 of the 50 years, right?
Well, and she's pro-life.
Well, she says she is. So,
she's pro-life.
So that sort of started like a really long Twitter fest. I don't know if is that what you call it. But anyway, we tweeted back and forth. And I ask, well, if you're pro-life, why are you so entrenched in, you know, convincing me that there is no abortifacient action? And she said, because I want to be able to be sexually active and not have to worry about harming anyone. So I thought, well, I, you know, complimented her. I said, well, that's pretty honest. And frankly, I kind of thought that's where you were coming from. So, you know, we went on and on. But you had a reaction to her comment like that. And so I think you said the same thing, how, you know, how refreshing that she actually admitted it. But so that kind of brought to mind, you know, we knew that there's a great overview about all the chemicals that women are offered. And, you know, we're really distressed, you and I, about the fact that fertility is seen as a curse. And women are designed perfectly by God to be mothers. And I just pray for the day when women embrace their fertility and don't suppress it for, you know, the first 20 years of their life. And then, as you've said often, then they have to go to the fertility clinic to get pregnant because they threw away the gift of fertility when they were in their 20s. That's when you're the most fertile.
Yeah, they go to the abortion clinic in their 20s, the fertility clinic in their 30s, and the cancer clinic in their 40s.
That's right.
It's just a horrible cycle that you get into when you start at the abortion clinic.
Right.
And even before abortion, you get on those pills. You are putting yourself in harm's way. So those pills with the hormones and all the chemicals, it's just insane to put that in your body.
Right. None of these birth control agents, all the different various methods, every one of them has some kind of a consequence for the woman. And, you know, when we said that you're most fertile when you're in your 20s, I was laughing with a friend the other day who's babysitting her grandson and saying, you know, God really knew what he was doing when he had us have our kids, or he planned on us having kids in our early 20s or even late teens, because that's when you have the energy. When your grandmothers, like we are, babysitting these grandchildren, boy, they wear you out.
I just went and took care of five.
I remember that. How did you do it?
I was like, oh my goodness, this is hard. You know, and they're all little. They're, you know, so it was a lot of work. And in my 20s, I don't think it would have been nearly as much work as it was.
It's exhausting.
In my 60s, yeah. It is exhausting. And then, you know, you're exhausted and they're still going like no tomorrow. It was like, I loved it. I loved being with my grandchildren, not with all their animals, but I loved being with my grandchildren. It was fun. So,
but when we talk about all these agents that women so readily take, even Christian women.
Yes.
Probably unbeknownst to them, all the harmful side effects. And you and I have done numerous shows about, like you brought up earlier, the cancer clinic when they're in their 50s. Mm-hmm. There is a link, and I was helping somebody today that's doing a billboard about the abortion breast cancer, the ABC link. And that's different than the pill in breast cancer. But I mentioned to him that there are 28 studies that are, you know, peer-reviewed studies that really confirm that there is a link. And our friend who runs the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute, Dr. Angela Lanfranchi, her great quote that says, the pill is a Molotov cocktail for breast cancer. So we're concerned that even women in the church, Christian women, you know, they've been so convinced and so persuaded that family planning is the way to go that they're not understanding necessarily, and they're not being told by their doctor, all the harmful effects.
That's right.
All the harmful effects.
You know, I've seen a lot of women who don't want to know.
That's true, too. They
just don't want to know.
And the pastors don't want to preach against birth control or abortion because they have women in the pews, and they know that the women are on the birth control pill, and they know they're having abortions, and so it's just too painful to confront.
And the sad stories that you hear all the time is like they're poor, they just don't have enough money for another child in their family. That is never true.
It makes me think about how many cars we see pulling into Planned Parenthood with brand new license plates, you know, the temporary paper plates, and they're great big, huge Cadillac SUVs.
I know. We're saying we can help you when they could probably help us. I mean, it's just insane
to
see.
It's crazy. Everybody's got a new car. Well, I shouldn't say everybody, but it really does seem like 40-50% of the cars going in there are new cars.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We don't need to. If you're going to think that I can't have this baby because I don't have enough money, first of all, you're putting a price tag on your child's head. And secondly, you have no faith. God takes care of us. He gives us what we need, not what we want. You're not getting a new Cadillac tomorrow, but you may get a new baby. And he wants to help you. He will help you. Just be faithful. And the world, well, they can't see that.
And the babies have infinite value in God's sight, and the cars have very limited value.
He doesn't care what you're driving, a broom, a bike, a Cadillac. He doesn't care. As long as you're faithful, that's what he cares about. Children are a blessing.
They are.
They're really a blessing. You can't, and in your 20s, you can't understand. You can't figure out. You can't comprehend. That's the word I was looking for. You can't comprehend how much they're going to mean in the future.
That's right.
I have a friend that never had children. You know, at first didn't want them, then wanted them, couldn't have them, and now doesn't have them. And she's heartbroken. They're old. They're my age now. There's no children.
No grandchildren.
No grandchildren.
No great-grandchildren. You
know, what is life without grandchildren? I mean,
that's right.
I only had two kids, but I got 10 of them from those two kids. That's a lot of grandkids, you know? So it's you just don't know when you're young what you're going to miss.
That's
you don't
right.
know. Big family, when you're old and you have your family around you, it's wonderful. My grandson got married on Saturday.
That's right.
And we had family around, and it was so wonderful to see them together and getting married and doing what's right, finally. So,
God's ways are higher than our ways, and darn if we just would understand that and proceed with our lives following his guidelines, wouldn't everything be so much easier?
Yeah. We do see God show up at the abortion clinic, though. I wanted to talk about some babies that were saved.
Yes,
recently.
And there were a couple saved while I was away.
Yeah. They were pretty amazing. One was 17 weeks pregnant. And it took a while. The father wanted the baby, but the mother, she was going in. She was going to have that abortion. And we just went after them and talked to them and talked to them and pled with them. And finally, they decided to have the baby. And then there was another one that this never happens. There was a young man that was bringing a young girl, she was 7 weeks pregnant, to the abortion clinic. The young girl didn't want to be pregnant because of morning sickness.
Oh, that's right.
And also, she had only known her new boyfriend for a month, and she was 7 weeks pregnant, so the baby wasn't his.
Mm.
But he wanted the baby. Mm. That never happens. You know, usually...
So many of the men want to pay somebody to kill their kid.
Right. And so he did everything he could. He stopped, and you know how Ken talks to people at the driveway and talks
right.
and talks and talks.
He's so effective.
He is.
He can
very
engage
effective.
People that no one else can seem to get.
And keep their attention
right.
forever.
5 minutes.
He can't keep my attention, sorry, hon, that long. But he really talked to this guy. This guy was helping Ken talk to her because she didn't speak English. He was Spanish, too, but he spoke English, and he's talking. And she finally told him, go inside. And I was stuck in traffic. There was a horrible accident.
Oh, right.
And I couldn't get there. And Ken's calling me, come on, get here, you know. And he said, talk to her. I don't speak Spanish well enough to. I can say certain things, but I don't know what they're saying to me when they're telling me.
Casa del Diablo, that's the only thing I can say. House of the devil.
Yeah.
Don't
exactly
go in there.
Right. So anyway, he drives her in because she wanted to go in, but then he drove her out and over to the pregnancy center. And when I pulled up, Ken's gone. I thought, oh, well, they must have gone in. You know, I didn't see Ken. He must have went to the restroom or something. And somebody said, Ken's at Marisol. And I just took off and ran over there. And I was looking for, so I just yelled. There was some 40 Days of Life people there. I said, who speaks Spanish? And there was a very retiring man. He's very shy. He said, well, I speak a little. I said, come on, you have to come with me.
So Marisol is the crisis pregnancy center right
yes.
down the street.
Yeah.
And it's a comprehensive health care center now. They do have, you know, on-site you know, full-time nurse and ultrasound people and occasional doctors.
And even STDs.
Right.
So they do. So a lot of times we can talk somebody out of paying Planned Parenthood 200 and something for a test and go over there. I mean, they shouldn't have STDs, but at least we're taking the money out of Planned Parenthood's hand.
Right.
So anyway, we're over there, and this man, he spoke really
good Spanish.
Yeah, as far as I was concerned, he was speaking really good Spanish. And she told him that she didn't want morning sickness. And he said, I understood what he was saying. He said it was normal. Both his kids, his wife was very sick. And
it gets better.
It gets better. Yeah, exactly. And the dad,
most of the time,
the boyfriend turns to her and said, see, it's going to go away. And she got out of the car, and I walked her into the crisis pregnancy center and came back out. And there's a lady that, there's a church, Restoration Fellowship, that donates silver dollars to us to give to the
right.
moms.
Those are so precious.
Yes. And this lady in their church puts them in a frame, and it says, children
it's embroidered,
are.
It's right?
She embroiders it, children are a heritage from the Lord, and with the verse. And I gave it to the Ken. We had run back to the car because I forgot it, and he came back, and I gave it to the dad. And we always say, this silver dollar is, we're giving it to you because it's made of precious metal and it's valuable, and that's to remind you that she and that baby are precious and valuable in the eyes of the Lord. And then I was able to tell him what a hero he was, and he was.
Aww.
He was just kind of petting the glass of
the frame,
you know, point. And you could tell it was really sinking in. I said, you saved that baby today. You saved that baby.
You think
how many
get married?
People do you know that have saved a life?
Right.
You just did that. Well, I was doing that for a couple of reasons. One, he really is a hero. And two, I wanted to make an emotional connection between him and that baby
yes.
that would end up in marriage. I don't know.
I hope so.
You know, once they go in the crisis pregnancy center, we've got to go back. We can't spend all that time there. So and even if she did come out, there wouldn't be much I could say to her. But he was really, really moved.
What an encouragement.
It was a real encouragement. And what an encouragement to see a young man do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to benefit him at all. And he did it anyway. So
his parents must have raised him right.
Yeah, I think so. He was a good guy, and he really worked hard, along with Ken. Ken did a fabulous job.
Wow. Well, if you're in a church and your church isn't involved in trying to help save babies on the front lines, we need you. We'd like you to come out and join us and be encouraged like we're encouraged.
Yeah. Yeah. The most wonderful thing you can do is go to the hospital when one of those babies is being born, hold that baby, pray for him right after they get here, and that's just a huge encouragement. You've been doing that a couple times.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been friends and going to Planned Parenthood for, what, 15, 20 years?
20.
Whew.
It's over 20, Leslie.
And you've been doing it, you've been in California, too, so 30 or more for you, right?
1979.
Wow.
However long that is. A long time ago.
Lots of kids you've saved.
Well, we've all, it's not just a single person's effort, you know. It takes a bunch of pro-lifers, not a city, not a village.
not a village.
A bunch of pro-lifers.
A bunch of abolitionists
to save that baby.
That's right. Well, we hope you'll come out Saturday night. It looks like show's about over, but we sure hope you'll join us for the annual Colorado Right to Life Film and Strategy Fundraiser.
$25 a person, $45 a family for dessert and a film.
6:30 Saturday night, the 11th of November.
That's right, at 4085 Independence Court, Wheat Ridge, Colorado.
303-753-9394.
Yeah.
Colorado Right to Life.
Yeah.
Say hi to Donna.
If you missed the number, just replay the show.
Or share it with a friend.
Yes, exactly. Share it with a friend. By the way, folks, Bob is out of town because he's in the Grand Canyon doing super science stuff.
Research with Walt Brown.
Walt Brown wrote In the Beginning. In the Beginning is a fabulous book about how the world changed at the flood. And In the Beginning is also about creation, right, Leslie?
And God.
And God. And everything that God
does. Praise Him and glory to Him.
Yeah, amen.